Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat. Coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Tuesday, wherever you are. I'm coming to you live from Radio Row, nay, now named Media Row, here at Super Bowl 60. Lots more people here today. A whole lot going on. Going to apologize if the stream goes out at any point. But, you know, did want to hop on and talk to you fine folks prior to the happy hour, which is happening in an hour. If you're a Patreon member or Care of the G Club member, don't forget, join us. It'll just be myself tonight, no Corey Banky. But, you know, one thing that I've kind of gathered here over the course of the last kind of 2 days, hanging out here, talking to a lot of football folks, and inevitably I get asked about the Packers and what they need to do and what I think they'll do, etc. I just wanted to put this on record here because I do think this is going to be the theme or a theme throughout the entirety of this offseason, and I think it needs to be. And that's doing right by Jordan Love by making sure that the debacle that was the Packers' offensive line in 2025 is not repeated in 2026 and going forward. They have a very good, if not great, young quarterback, and it was near criminal what he was asked to work with up front much of the season in 2025. There's little doubt. You look at any advanced metric, you look at the tape, Jordan Love is on the cusp of greatness. To achieve that, he's going to need a little more help from the offensive line. And I know there are plenty of fans out there who want to fire coaches, move on from Steno, fire Butkus. I don't think that's the answer. Now, your mileage may vary on that, but I think much more needs to be done as far as finding the talent and putting it in the right place and possibly, maybe, going back to a time when the offensive line consisted of lighter athletic offensive linemen rather than the big hulking bodies that they've kind of acquired over the course of the last couple seasons. That's obviously a big picture thing, undoubtedly something that Matt and Goody and company will talk about as they head into free agency in the draft. But whatever the answers are up front, it is paramount for the success of the Packers in 2026 to the point where I'd say it's the most important thing, much more so than what I've seen a lot of discussion about regarding, oh, obviously the cornerback room needs talent and they have to be able to be better up front on defense along the defensive tackle position. And I don't dismiss or discount any of that, but there is no way they're going to get where they want to go if they have a similar level of play along their offensive line in 2026. To me, that is the a number one thing that has to get right for the Green Bay Packers. And like I said, talking to people here who, you know, follow the league and look at the Packers intermittently throughout the season, it's surprising to me how, and I talked about this a little bit with my buddy Nick Costas on his show earlier this week, it's surprising to me the perception of Jordan Love when it comes to the national media. I hear a lot of, oh, he's pretty good, or he's good, not great, etc. Man, I'm telling you, Jordan Love is great right now. You give him an offensive line, he is going to tear this league apart. So it's just, to me, it feels like the most, a number one point of emphasis, if you will, for Brian Gutekunst when constructing whatever the roster ends up being for 2026. That is paramount. And it could be, you know, sweeping changes. It can be incremental changes. Maybe it's something like, you know, fomenting competition along each spot, but there is little doubt that whatever happens, they have 1,000,000,000% got to be better across the line and a hell of a lot more consistent for Jordan Love's sake and for the team's sake. And they're going to win a lot more games if they're able to do what they want to do, especially when it comes to running the football, but obviously protecting your franchise quarterback. I can't begin to count the number of times in crucial situations, fourth downs and gotta have it situations, long third downs, critical third downs, where Jordan Love is taking the snap and there is instant pressure and he doesn't know which time and who it's going to be this time. Is it the guard? Is it off his left side? Is it off his right side? He's all of a sudden it's in his lap. That has got to change. To me, that, again, it's the a number one thing. So we'll see how the Packers go about it this offseason, but I suspect that will be a major focus, because it really hamstrung the offense throughout the entirety of the season. And then you look no further than the second half, when all they had to do in that playoff game was salt the game away, and they couldn't do anything up front. That has got to change. What's going on, everybody? Good to see you all in the comment section. Hope you're all doing well. Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to my good friends over at ThetaCare. That's right. When it comes to football season, it's all about action, and sometimes injuries happen. Whether it's a sprain, strain, or something more serious, ThetaCare Orthopedic Care is here to help you recover like a pro. Their team offers expert care for bones, joints, and muscles so you can get back to doing what you love, on the field or in the stands. Don't let pain sideline you. ThetaCare, proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, what's going on? How we doing? We got folks in the chat, starting off with Michael. How are you, man? I grew up watching Packers games with the TV turned down and Jim and Max turned up. Those are some fond memories. Used to do the same thing there, Shay Nagler, when I was growing up. My dad was, you know, instrumental in my kind of obviously becoming a diehard Packers fan and love. My grandpa and my father both did exactly that. Turn the volume down, listen to Jim and Max. Those were heady days, man. They were the best of the best, no question about it. Jerry, how you doing, man? We should draft all good players, obviously. This is a bold strategy. You joke, but it's funny. I was actually talking with Peter Bukowski earlier this morning about the perception of drafts and when guys are starters or become, you know, frontline players, and fans still discount it because they're not a superstar, right? Or they're not an all-pro or even a Pro Bowler. I mean, if you're batting a little over 300 in your drafts year after year, you're doing good work as a GM. If you get three starters out of a draft, you've really done well. But all that anyone wants to point to are the misses, oh, we should have drafted that guy, could have drafted that guy. Every single team has those. Every single one. Every GM misses. Like, the idea that, oh, just, and I know, again, that you're joking, but that's kind of the feel around some of the criticism. It's like, well, you should have drafted the good players. To me, it is kind of funny. Evil Badger, how are you, man? Do you think there'll be an international Super Bowl in the next 10 years? I doubt it. I don't think that there's going to be a Super Bowl. I think there are going to be more international games. I think it was yesterday, Goodell talked about having 16 at some point, you know, and every team going overseas at least once every season. I think that is going to happen. A Super Bowl in 10 years? Unlikely. But, you know, never say never. But I do think it's a bit further off than that. Joe, how are you, sir? If Love is as good as you say he is, and I agree he is, should the Packers be 27th in the NFL in pass attempts? I agree O-line is an issue. I always love this kind of note or argument because did you watch the Rams playoff game against the Bears where they kept trying to throw it and couldn't do anything on offense while completely ignoring the run? And when they started to run the ball, suddenly they moved the football and scored points. I understand people want to just throw it around the yard and Jordan Love should be throwing 40 times a game, etc. But the run game helps your quarterback, especially in LaFleur's offense. That's what everyone seems to miss. Now, they need to be a hell of a lot more effective when doing so. You know, sitting there in second and eight consistently ain't going to help your quarterback at all. But I don't begrudge Matt, and I understand the thinking, trying to generate offense and put your, you know, quarterback in the best position possible by running the football. And that helps your quarterback because the defense stays off balance. Can't just sit back there in a coverage shell and know that you're throwing it 45 times a game. Like, again, I understand it, and I don't doubt for a moment there will be a bit of a shift there. I do think they might start, you know, utilizing Jordan a little bit more on first downs, etc. But yeah, I don't have any issues with that approach. They just need to be better doing and committing to the ground game and being more effective with it. That's where I'm at. E4, what's up, man? Agree with you about the O-line. Got to admit, the freaking Bears O-line really helped that team, although they obviously still suck. That's a good point. But yeah, I mean, look no further than Caleb Williams' rookie year to his sophomore year and the difference the offensive line made. Now, Ben Johnson coming on board and designing a very different offense certainly helped. Like, I'm not taking anything away from the work Johnson and Williams did, but it didn't hurt, and it obviously helped that they completely overhauled their offensive line. that was a big driver and a major engine for their productivity and their ability on offense. And, oh, wow, they did a lot of that with the running game. Couldn't agree more, man. Mike Witt, how are you, sir? Hey, Nags, gut feeling is Quay back. It's so funny. If you had asked this question last year, I would have said absolutely. Now, total gut, I doubt it. I really doubt it. I can't see committing the money that it would be necessary. No, and I don't think he's going to sign for some team-friendly deal, knowing that there's undoubtedly a decent market for his services on the open market. I would be shocked if he took a team-friendly deal, which I think is what, if the Packers were to make an offer, is what the offer would be. Yeah, man, I doubt it. And I do think, I'm talking to people here, my friends that cover the draft, as it were, sounds like this is a linebacker-rich draft. Like, it's going to be a really good crop of prospects at the off-ball spot. So there's a decent chance that they move on, I would suspect. Marshall Duke, how are you, sir? The Packers have done the inverse of the Ron Wolf way of signing seasoned veterans 30-plus. The team has maturity issues with being so young. Do you think the age threshold has to change? I don't think it has to change. I think they're maturing together. They're growing together. That was always the plan, right? I mean, Gutekunst even said point blank that year after they traded Rodgers away, the idea was for this young group to mature together. Now, have there been issues as far as, you know, mental mistakes, bad timing as far as loss of concentration or whatever, errors at the worst possible time? Yeah. Do I attribute all that to youth? Not necessarily. You know, I do think as they have kind of grown, it's going to be interesting to see who they identify as a core player. Guys like Christian Watson, who they got the 1-year extension for, and now undoubtedly this season they will give him a real extension, I suspect. That's what you and he is a consummate pro, right? An absolute gem of a pro football player, does everything the right way. That's what you're trying to foment in your locker room, right? That's the kind of guy you want. And I do think you pay a guy like that. You pay a guy like Zach Tom, who does everything right, is a complete professional. That's the way you're building your team. Now, adding a, you know, end of the line, end of his career, so to speak, free agent, maybe even two. Do I think it's a possibility this offseason? Yeah, I do. I do think, especially given kind of the way the roster lays out contractually, and we've talked about it a bit, you know, with Micah Parsons' deal being kind of constructed as it is, they have an opportunity here these next 2 years to really try and make a run. I do think there's a possibility if it materializes in the market. I don't think they're just going to make swings, especially early. Like, they're going to wait it out. They're going to probably let things die down in the second, maybe even third wave of free agency, and then take a look what's out there. But they're not going to do it just to do it, right? Well, we need to sign some vets. I don't ever see the Packers operating that way. What else we got here, folks? Cheeto, how you doing, man? I've spoken to some Bears fans. They all say we should have won that game. We had it. I LOL and sleep in peace knowing this. I mean, they did have it, and then their superstar quarterback threw it away. Hey, as Packers fans, we watched Brett Favre do that again and again and again. So we can commiserate. It's certainly not uncharted territory. What else we got here, folks? Simon, how are you, sir? I agree running the ball is key, Nags, but I'd like to see us throw it more in the red zone. That's where we can use Jordan Love's talent better. Yeah, I think it's interesting to see how much they run in the red zone with Jacobs, right? Because that is, you know, that has been a big key, and he scored a lot of touchdowns for them over these 2 years that he's been in town. And you got to remember, some of that is Jordan Love making the call at the line of scrimmage. There was a play in that game, one of the Bears games, where, you know, they did throw it early, and then Love on, I think it was third down, checked to a run, and Jacobs gets in, you know? So it's not a blanket thing. I do think it would be nice to see them utilize the running back in the passing game a little bit more in the red zone. I think that's an area that they had kind of a stretch in 2020 and into 21 where they did quite a bit of that, and it was pretty successful. But yeah, I don't think we're ever going to see a complete turn away from that as long as Jacobs is on the roster. I think that is their weapon once they get inside the 10, especially, right? Jerry, what's up, man? I don't think Seven was playing in the right spot on defense. Yeah, we talked a lot about this past offseason, especially once the kind of selection of Edgerrin Cooper happened. It was like, oh no, he's going to go play the Will, right? And I think I'm with you. I think Quay would make a great weak side backer, and maybe that's what he's going to go find in free agency. That's entirely possible, right? I don't disagree with that assessment. Hero, what's up? Corey Krenz, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Hey, Nags, thoughts on Jennings dunker? Sounds like a Packer to me. Also, what's your Brewers prediction for the year? Random Packer, Mike Wall. You mean fellow content creator, Mike Wall? I kid, I jest. A lot going on there. Jennings dunker. Love the interviews. Haven't looked at a lick of his tape, but the mullet alone, he's got to be a Packer, right? Come on. And the fact that he loves Culver's, put him in green and gold. I'm all in. As far as my Brewers prediction, that I'll love watching the Brewers throughout the summer. I've said this many times. There was a great essay in the New Yorker years ago, and I can't ever remember the author, but the line stuck with me. And the gentleman wrote, "Baseball holds your hand through the summer." I suspect the Brewers will hold my hand through the summer to get me to training camp. But there's no expectation. I don't, you know, you saw last year they had a magical season. Absolutely one of the best, if not the best team in baseball. And then when the rubber met the road and it was time to generate any kind of offense, they couldn't do it. Absolutely 100% Brewers baseball. You know, I think that's what it'll be for the rest of my life. And that's fine. I'm resigned to it. That's just where I'm at. E4, what's going on, man? Read a sci-fi story years ago about an intergalactic Super Bowl, Earth lost. Hope the NFL is preparing for all future possibilities. Man, that's great. We're going to have like Micah Parsons and Jordan Love and all these other NFL stars facing off against the Monstars. I don't think I'm going to be alive to see it, but I see the vision. Joe, thanks again, man. What should be asked at Goot's press conference that won't be? Ooh, that's a good one. I don't know. I'm gonna stick up for the beat here. More often than not, and not every single time, but I will say there's lots of times when I see people bitching and moaning about what was asked and they should have asked this or why didn't they ask that. And usually anything and everything that needs to be asked or should have been covered has been by the beat. Now, they might not do it in the manner that the, you know, very angry, frothing at the mouth section of the fan base would prefer, but usually all those bases, whatever the roster, the draft, whatever, the decision making, looking back, all of that stuff usually does get covered and usually gets asked. So I suspect anything and everything you want asked of Brian Gutekunst tomorrow will most likely be asked, because I know Packers fans don't believe it, but they are spoiled. They have one hell of a great beat operation. Not everybody's perfect. Not everybody's, going to be mistaken for Grantland Rice anytime soon. But the guys and gals on the beat for the Packers, I put them up that Pepsi challenge against anybody across the league, any group. They are outstanding. And I just think it's just, I do wish people were a little bit more appreciative of that fact. Pac Daddy says, I'd like to see Love under center in goal to go situations. Yeah, I mean, again, it's never going to be a blanket thing, but I would like to see that a little bit more. And I do think they need to do more of that in general, across like through the 20s, etc. And we saw them get back to some of that this year. And my dream and the thing I talked about at the top of the stream was, you know, I'd love for them to get back to some more of the stretch zone stuff where that they can run boot action off of it. Even though I understand that's not Josh Jacobs' forte, clearly Aaron Jones was the master of that stuff. But I do think Jacobs has the ability to run wide zone and then work your play action game and your boot action game off of that. And I think that's when Jordan Love is at his deadliest. But, you know, I think there's a chance they can get to some of it, but they got to be able to hold up front, right? And putting Love under center, especially in goal-to-go situations and being able to hand it off to a Josh Jacobs with a head of steam, I like their chances in that setup. No doubt about it. Gito, thanks again, man. Jennings Dunker, fellow Iowa alum, second best lineman on the 2025 Iowa line, collectively didn't have a holding call until the 10th game, as a bachelor's of science will pursue pediatric medicine after the NFL. Look at Cheeto with the rundown here. I like it. Look at you, Johnny on the spot with the CV for Jennings Dunker. I will say he's already very clearly the apple of Packers fans' eyes that, like, totally ensures that he will never be drafted by the Green Bay Packers. I am setting myself up for that non-heartbreak right now because I'm not going to have my heart broken because I'm not going to invest because I know the Packers are going to pass on because that's the way the world works. Aaron Harper, how are you, man? Hall of Fame voting is a joke. Go Pack, go. Yeah, you're not wrong. I was just talking to someone about that about 25 minutes ago or so. And, you know, I said, this has been like this disaster, which is essentially what they're kind of facing this offseason, has been coming ever since they switched the, you know, the formatting of the voting. Like, you know, when the news broke that Belichick wasn't going to get in, I said, this totally exemplifies what an absolute cluster it's become. And I don't see it getting any better unless they have a major overhaul. I think that is probably inevitable, but I don't know if it happens right away. We'll see. But what's wild is I believe back when it was kind of first put forth, the idea was, well, we've got all these log jams and we're trying to, like, you know, eliminate some of them. But the problem is it's only created more log jams and it will continue to do so. Not great, man. Not great. Mike Witt, what's going on, man? With the staff he assembled, I have come around again. And that being said, I will be keeping an eye on Buffalo to see what Jimmy is doing. More than fair, man. But I don't really care about Buffalo or Jim Leonard because I don't root for the Bills. That's just me. Just how I roll. Very different situations. But, hey, I am very excited for Gannon and the staff that he has assembled. And I am very much looking forward to kind of a different approach down in and down out from Gannon. Judging by his time in Philadelphia, a little bit in Arizona, though he didn't, you know, call the plays, though he did design the game plans. I do think it's going to look a bit different than it has the past couple coordinators under Halfley and Barry. Jay Love is Mr. Perfect. Well, let's not go crazy here, okay? You know, he's certainly got flaws. We all do, and he's no different. But he's pretty damn good, and he's pretty underappreciated. But let's put it that way. All right, buddy, I got to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.